Hello, and again, welcome to Tap 2. We're here highlighting women that work with Tap 2. They have been amazing. And some of the things that we've done have just been exceptional because of the experts and the women that we have as a part of our team. I am Sonia Toomer-Bates, and I'm the Executive Project Director for Tap 2, and we've been doing it for about 5 years, and I really feel that each year we get better and better. We've got an amazing team. I'm telling you, it's second to none. And here I have with me today, Sonia Booker, and I'd like her to just share a little bit about herself. She's our focal and our expert on all things real estate. And commercial real estate is one of those areas that she does assist us with. Sonia, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. And listen, thanks for the work that you're doing. I mean, just the vision that you've had around the technical assistance work is just like, it's like no other. And when I hear 5 years, you know, it's like, wow.
Right.
5 years. That's like, because I've only been in this particular role of technical assistance for like 2, yeah. But started working with you on just women's entrepreneurship. I'm just always proud of the work, and it just gives me really great honor to be around.
Oh,
impact. You know, like if it's not impactful,
yes,
I don't want to do it.
That's right. That's right.
I love that mission. I love the mission you have. So I'm Sonia Booker. And I am a real estate developer, real estate investor, and I can't remember if I turned entrepreneur or if I'm a real estate entrepreneur, you know, because it just started to kind of go hand in hand. So, you know, I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi around construction, around my grandfather, and they were always in real estate. And I just remember, even as a young girl, just kind of wanting to be in control of my own destiny.
Right.
Like that, you know, nobody was saying it's an entrepreneur. Nobody was calling it an entrepreneur.
Right.
But it was like all of the things that were listed for me, like nurse, oh, I don't like blood, you know, teacher, oh, I don't have the patience, you know, like all of my list of the 3 or 4 things that I could be,
right?
Especially as a little black girl,
right.
You know, in Mississippi, it was kind of a short, list. And so I just remember always doing all this different activity with my grandfather, mm-hmm. you know, going on his burial policy routes, going into the city, selling produce. We call that petland, and we would go in and, you know, so, you know, we'd take this, you know, Chevy truck in town. And it's filled with, you know, collard greens, okra, black-eyed peas.
Oh, yes.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, filled.
Come on now.
And I remember coming back, you know, we'd be gone, you know, in town 3-4 hours, like half the day, like half the morning. We would leave like 6-7 in the morning. And we would come back, and he would have this big coffee, you know, can. He would keep money in the coffee can. So he has a lot of money put in coffee can. And, you know, before he's putting it in the coffee can, he's breaking me off, you know, my part.
Old school. That's old right. school right
you
there.
Know? And I'm like, let me get this right. We left with some greens, and we came back with a different kind of green.
Mm.
Entrepreneur was born.
How about that?
Like, we just created some money. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we went, you know, there was labor involved in, you know, planting the seeds, you know, picking the vegetables, making sure everything was watered and the crops grew properly.
Right, right.
So you had all of that you had to oversee. And then you load that up and you take it and sell it, and then you get money.
Right.
For that.
Right.
Yeah. That was like the first time that I really was like a click, like
an aha moment.
We created money. We took our hands and we took something and then made something out of it.
Right.
Yeah. And so from there, you know, I was just like always like, you know, we had this brown Chevy truck. Every time the brown Chevy truck crunk up, I'm like riding shotgun.
We ready.
Right. We're ready. You know,
I'm
in the passenger seat. And just like, you know, he's like, Sonia, get the ledger out. You know, I'm in the glove compartment. Write this down. Make a note. This is what we sold. This is what we did. And,
so
you know,
awesome.
I'm just like, keeping books. You know?
Like, wow.
The bookkeeper. And I remember we would go in the city, and people started saying, like, Mr. Martin, do you have any peas that are already shelled? You know, and I was like, little lazy city people, you know. And but it gave me an idea. And I was like, well, what if I shell the peas? And so he was like, well, if you shell them, you could if you shell them and bag them, then you could sell them. And I'll give you that difference cost. It's like, well, what could I sell that for? It's like $2 more a bag. I was like, oh, I get to keep the $2, you know. And so that $2, I was just like looking for like, how can I take this?
You've been a mastermind a long time.
I take this to another level. So it was just kind of instilled. And luckily, I got to be around it and it got, you know, fostered. And so when I graduated from college and did all the stuff that you thought you do, graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi, and it was like got recruited right out of college, and went and worked for JCPenney. And I remember my grandfather saying, "Don't you have enough experience yet?" You know, and I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Right?
You
right.
know, and he was like, "No, you're you're somebody who you're not designed that way."
Right.
Yeah, because he saw that and he like fostered
that. That's why he
that.
Was grooming you
and that,
from
yeah,
early.
Yeah, it's like, get the ledger, write this down, do this, do that. You know, what you think about that? And it was like really showing me, and it just kind of like stuck, like all those things stuck. And so when I did have my first corporate job, you know, I remember thinking like, I'm not cut out for this. Like, I'm not controlling my own destiny. This does not feel like I'm controlling my destiny. And so after I was working on my master's at the University of Dallas at the time, I was living in Plano, Texas. And I remember, you know, just kind of putting my mind to like, this is not what I had in mind. This doesn't feel, this feels like a ceiling, and it feels very low.
Right.
Yeah, yep. It feels very yep. low. Yep. And it didn't allow me to be the free thinker that I was being raised to be, or that I was raised to be. And so I was like, okay, it's time for me to, you know, move on. And I remember at that time, part of my job entailed me coming to Atlanta. I was living in Dallas. I would come to Atlanta to go to the market, the America's Mart. I was a buyer for JCPenney. And I remember coming to Atlanta, and I was like, oh, that city, like, the energy, I always just felt alive when I would come to Atlanta from being from
opportunity.
The opportunity just felt like, whoa. And so I told everybody, you know, I was finishing my master's, and I was like, as soon as I graduate, as soon as I finish, I'm moving to Atlanta. You know, everybody's like, what? You know anybody in Atlanta? I'm like, no. I'm moving there, you know. And I remember, like, I the night of my graduation, I didn't even go to my graduation. I had my little Honda packed up, and I was like, rolling. I moved to Atlanta, and everybody's like, you don't know anybody. And it's just like,
that's the part that's so amazing. Your grandfather saw that in you.
Yeah.
He instilled that from small. So you couldn't get away from it.
I couldn't get away from it.
You know, it was part of your DNA, actually, at that point.
Yeah.
And so when you were able, and even with his tip of saying, you're not ready yet?
Mm-hmm.
You ready yet? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a work that you have to do that's way beyond.
That's way beyond. Yeah.
You know, we always talk, you and I often say, you know, whatever project we're working on, whatever we're doing for the community, whatever we're doing with the women serving in such a capacity, it's bigger than us.
Right.
This is just bigger than us, and you can't box
and you can't
that
you
in.
Can't box it. It doesn't flourish. It doesn't feel good. And I remember when I packed up my car and I moved, I, you know, was like looking. I figured I've had these points, like probably 3 points in my life, and I don't know. I was just really blessed to be intuitive enough to understand where I was. So when I moved to Atlanta, everybody was like, what are you going to do? And I said, it's time for me to be an entrepreneur. But I didn't know what entrepreneurial, you know, like, I was just like, I'm not going back for a job.
Right.
Like, you know, I was just like, it's time for me to do something. And I almost think the idea of not really knowing, like, I never just knew what kind of entrepreneur. I was just like, I want to start a business. I want to have my business. And so, but I knew also that I was in a place where I took off for like 3-4 months that I just wanted to just explore and get to know myself in a different phase and like kind of sit with myself, like, what does this next look like for you? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and just to think like, I just was like, I'm not going to work anywhere. I'm just going to drive around 285, figure out, you know, Atlanta. And, you know, I would go over to Piedmont Park and take my blanket and camp out and just sit. And it was just like, you know, and I remember about 3 months into that sitting, like, girl, you got to do something. Like, you got your savings. Like, you know,
like, about to get empty.
You know, about to get empty. Like, and I remember having the classified ad out and, you know, laying in the park and I had the newspapers when you, before Indeed and, you know, LinkedIn. So I got the newspaper and I'm looking at the classified and I see this position for a real estate life insurance coordinator. And, you know, my, sometimes I could be like extremely like naive about stuff, which is sometimes good and sometimes it's like,
because you'll take that leap.
Because I'll take the leap.
You'll like, take
so
the
I was
leap.
Like, well, I used to go on my grandfather's burial policy route. Like, surely I could
do this. What?
That's how I ended up in the insurance field of like, yeah, I could figure this out, life insurance. And so my first venture was, you know, starting as a life insurance coordinator for Allstate, and then quickly, like, having to go to the different agent offices and help them to get more life insurance. And then I would have to travel to Illinois, where the corporate office was, to, like, go in there and just, like, get stuff from being unstuck. You know, it could take somebody, like, you know, 10 weeks to issue a life insurance policy because you had all these, like, processes and stuff was just getting stuck.
Right.
So it's like,
right.
Sonia, go to, you know, Illinois. And, you know, and I was like this coordinator, liaison. And that was horrible. I realized then I knew processes, but I didn't like the snow in Bloomfield in Illinois. Like, you know, it's like, this is too cold. This is too crazy.
New York wouldn't have been your friend either.
I mean, I am not cut out for it. I remember parking, having a rental car, parking, and then going back looking for the car, and it was snowed in. And I was like, you know, like, people like digging out car. I was like, is there a cab? Like, I don't know about this life. And so, yeah, so I ended up doing that. And then, but once I got the gist of it, I was like, the agents, that's where everything happens, because there's no life insurance, there's no claims, there's no claims adjust, there's nothing else needed, underwriting, nothing, until somebody writes a policy. Mm-hmm. So everything starts at, you know, the agent level. And so it's always kind of like looking at that and like, okay, so I need to be an agent. Again,
right.
Sounded so simple at
right.
23 years old. That I need to be an agent because that's where, you know, everything was happening. And I kind of set the course and all the powers that be, everybody just thought I was crazy. Like, who is this little girl talking about she wants to be an agent? And so they gave me the criteria I needed and I became an agent. It wasn't like overnight. That's a whole story. But by 24, I was the youngest agent in the Allstate community.
Wow.
And after suffering and, you know, having a rough 18 months getting started eating peanut butter and jelly, I became top agent in the state of Georgia for 3 years in a row.
That's exceptional.
Yeah.
But you were like, let me say, you were designed for this. You were
I just figure stuff out.
Ordained
stuff.
For this.
Yeah,
that's why there was no fear.
Well, it seems so simple that I could probably do that. I you know, I always tell people, because even now when I teach and work with a lot of entrepreneurs, I'm like, hey, look, I'm always scared. Like, I know I look confident sometimes. I'm, like, usually shaking in my boots, but doing it anyway, because I know the consequence, my grandmother used to say, don't have the regret of not doing it. And it's kind of like, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, I fell fast. I fell forward. It was just kind of like, what would happen if I didn't try that, though? That I didn't want to live with. That was kind of
right.
like, yeah, no, yep. I don't want to do that.
But I think that's so important that you speak about, because they see Sonia Booker now. And they don't realize what you've been through and really what you bring to the table. Mm. That's why I think it's so powerful for someone to work with you, for the ones in the community to even have an opportunity for you to map out plans and ideas around an area that they are exploring, ready to move forward with. But you like almost have every angle outlined. You already seen it, done it, been it. You know, but that's what's so key to what you do.
This is how, and so this is where my first real estate started. Like, you know, obviously I was born, you know, in it with my grandfather. Moving to Atlanta, I went to one of the agent's offices, and I'll never forget it. I'm like in there talking to him. And he's in Forest Park, which is so interesting because I do stuff in Forest Park now. And it was just kind of like this full circle. But I'm going in his office and we're like, you know, we're just talking about his life insurance. But then I'm just asking questions. And he's like, yeah, I own the whole plaza. I was like, come again? He's like, yeah, I own the plaza. So he had like H&R Block as a tenant. He had Papa John's on the end, you know, like all that. I was like, so, you're making more money in the real estate.
Oh, how about that?
Than being an agent.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, basically. Another step. And I am kind of here like rent free, you know, like this building is being paid for. My office is out of it. And then I'm like doing my business. And I was like, oh, I like that.
Right.
You know, like that model that like that really clicked. And that was like my first kind of introduction to like, how do you use real estate and do business? Like where it became bold. And so now, you know, and of course, you know, we can't skip over the fact that I had the blessing to be able to meet and be mentored by the late Herman J. Russell.
Oh, yes.
Senior. And, you know, whenever I come into this building, you know, this Rice Center that I always call Russell Center because it's like, that's the namesake and that's like who I met. And I remember reading about him in Black Enterprise as a real estate pioneer. Mm-hmm. And it was, again, that just kind of starry eyed. I was like, I got to meet him. Like, I got to meet him. Like, is he in Atlanta? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in Atlanta. He's in Atlanta. It seemed quite simple. But it took me 2 years to meet him. And just to my meeting was just to be able to say, hey, I'm here. Can I have your cell phone number? Can I call you from time to time as I'm doing deals and, you know, if I need some advice? And that was my my goal, because as I was coming from Mississippi, like, I've seen things. And, you know, I grew up most of my life hearing about Emmett Till and where you don't go and, you know, you don't go down these certain streets and you don't do this, you don't do that. And so my perspective about racism and civil rights and all of that was like ground zero.
Right.
You know, yeah. It was like, oh, yeah. I was not, you know, not aware of the world and the just kind of the hatred and the just kind of racism that existed. And so I remember just thinking like, wow, how did he build? When I met him, like in 2003, I remember thinking like, how does someone build? His company was about to celebrate a 50th year anniversary when I met him. And it's like, how do you, I mean, you had to start building this in the 50s.
Yeah. What you knew about ground zero.
Right. Like, yeah. How does that happen? You know, and that was my premises of like, I gotta know, how do you come out with a company like this and at a time like that, you know? And I remember just my first meeting with them, it, you know, obviously, you know, was amazing. And then when he asked to see some of my properties, at that time I had a couple duplexes and, you know, and I was just kind of like, you want to see my stuff? Like, you know, like you're you and you want to go, yeah.
And, but do you think, as we get ready to close this out, do you think with all that you have with the mentors you've had in your life, and I consider your grandfather a mentor as well.
Absolutely. My first.
You know, as we close this out, for the work that you do with Tap2, for the customers that you work with, for being a woman entrepreneur for this year, and being up under Russell, like, you, I mean, just... Mm-hmm. That's a testimony. Like, that's a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. What do you think this year, from everything you want to do as a woman, what is would be your goal? And that we can really kind of tailor for those who see who Sonya Booker is.
I think
Booker
that's
is.
Good. And so I feel like when you look at my Tap 2 work and the real estate work that I do with the entrepreneurs, it comes from this space of like, I'm not telling you what I heard about,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like what I know.
Yes.
And like why you have to plan this out, why you have to understand what you need for what you're doing. And so for this year, when I look at it, I look at the one thing about my mentor, the late Herman Russell, is I always tell people he gave me 15 minutes of his time that mm-hmm. turned into a 12-year mentorship. Mm-hmm. And I cannot even imagine my life without that 15 minutes had he not taken that time out.
Right.
So it's always like, who am I not to give my time, not to take
wow.
out that?
Right.
And so that's what I, you know, I always want women in particular, because I know we're just different, and mm-hmm. I recognize that. And I always want women to feel that I am here for them. I mean, my guys are my guys, just like, you know. But the women, I want women to know, like, I got you.
Yes.
I am here
yes.
for you.
Yes.
And I feel my work in 2024 is really around that. That premises that women have that safe space, they have that place where they could go to, where they could reach someone, reach out, like, this is what's going on in my business, this is what I'm thinking, what I need, and I could be that for other people.
Exceptional.
Yeah.
Sonya Booker, thank you for your time, thank you for your expertise and everything you bring, not only to Tap 2, but you are a force to be reckoned with.
Oh!
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're just glad to have you on our team.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you guys tuning in. We have more. Reach out to us on Tap 2. Connect in. We're looking forward to it. Thanks again, Sonya.
Thank you. Yay.